praise you, Jesus. Are you ready for the Word tonight? Welcome to part two of our message on the seven P's of faith. In other words, we're teaching seven steps to step into your destiny with God. And I know you're like me, you want to fulfill what God has for your life. And several years back, God gave me seven steps that He's called every believer to step into, see His provision and power manifest upon them. And unless you learn how to access His supernatural power, you're going to come short in trying to fulfill His calling upon your life. So this morning, we started going through these seven steps. We're now in part two, and we want to review because there's a lot of new people here tonight. We're going to do our best to review what we covered this morning in an accelerated fashion. Everybody say accelerated. Do you believe we can do it? Your faith may be stronger than mine then. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. And we'll go through this as quickly as we can to really capture the entire content of this message. You'll need to get part one from this morning, but we'll review somewhat so you can follow where we're going to part two tonight. Amen. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which is in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose, everybody say purpose, with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. We discovered this morning that if you want to fulfill your destiny with God, you've got to know what your purpose is. People all the time are asking themselves, even in the world, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Why was I born into this planet? Why was I born into this situation? And those that know God are saying, God, what do you want me to do? Right? We discovered this morning, God has a purpose for every person on earth. Are you with me? And we also discovered every person's purpose is identical. My purpose is the same as your purpose. Your purpose is the same as everybody else's purpose out there, even if they're not saved. We were created, we were birthed for one purpose, that is to cleave to the Lord, to desire to know Him, to come into an active fellowship with God. Scripture makes it clear that of all of creation, only man was made in God's image, right? After His likeness and given dominion. God created man in His image to have somebody that He could fellowship with on an even level with. Do you follow me? You've been given the nature of God, the image of God, the emotions of God. You've been given some of the same desires of God if you're born again, right? And you were made to know Him. Paul said, I consider everything but dung, but to know God. Amen. So his prayer was in Ephesians 3:10, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. You and I and everyone were called to know God. Why else would we be here? Do you think God just needed some workers? You think we were made so He could have little ants going around doing some things for Him so He could say, hey, I've got them doing all, you know, these activities. They're obeying me. That was never His purpose. God's purpose was never to raise up a people of obedience. It was raise up a people of relationship. But to come into a relationship with Him, you've got to trust Him enough to obey Him. Amen. Then we discovered that not only does God have a purpose for you to know Him, He's got a plan for your life as well. And we discovered every one of our plans are different. No two people have the same plan or calling. Another word for plan would be calling. The same plan for their lives. And my calling is to preach. His plan for me is to preach the Word and usher in the glory of God. Your plan may be to raise up children. It could be to have your own company. Whatever He's called you to do, there's a plan for your life. Right? And we discovered when God calls you to a plan, it's always greater than you can do of yourself. People will say, you know, well, You know, I'm really good at, you know, laying brick. So God's called me to lay brick. Well, no, that's your vocation. Do you follow me? And you cannot confuse your vocation with your calling. Your vocation may be to lay brick, but your calling may be to build a massive church with that brick. Amen. Or to design. Come up with brick designs nobody's ever even conceived of before. The point is, whatever your calling is going to be greater than what you can do of yourselves. Because in this relationship, God wants to show you off as somebody that He is able to back and elevate above their own abilities. I mean, my children, you know, when my children were, you know, say, preteen, and they had a project or something due, we would help them with their project, a science project or some kind of history project. We would help them. We wouldn't do it all for them, but we would help them. I don't know how many science projects I've got caught up in. But for a child, you know, at 10 years old to do their own science project and showed up to school with, you know, two sticks to try to rub them together and make fire, and that's the best they could come up with, doesn't reflect good on a parent's interaction with the child. Do you follow me like on that? We didn't let them dress themselves. If we let our girls dress themselves, my youngest daughter would have went every day of the winter in probably red sandals and a short dress or shorts. Do you follow me? She had no ability to dress for the seasons. She dressed for what she liked to wear. So we had to help her dress. Can you imagine her going to school in the middle of the winter with shorts on and sandals? They would have said, what kind of parents does she have that will let her try to do this on her own? Well, in the same fashion, God wants people to recognize He is behind us. In fact, we have a saying for those that step into the anointing. We want people to say, surely the hand of God is on their lives. I want to do a work that people will say, surely God was behind that. You know, I'm finishing up this book now, and I want people to say, surely God had a hand in authoring that book. I want them to read the pages and say, obviously the Holy Ghost was helping him with this. And if you know my writing skills, you would have to know that was true. Amen. But God calls us to things that require His intervention. Otherwise, we would be tempted to try to live our lives without our relationship with Him being full and active. That your plan is greater than you can do of yourself. It requires more wisdom, more finances, more charisma, and more strength than you possess. It should keep you on your knees, amen, praying and fellowshipping with God. Everybody has a different plan. It's up to you to pray and find out what God wants you to do. Amen. But until you know it, do something for the kingdom. Interconnect with the church in some fashion. Find out what the pastor would have you do. That'll help you find your plan. Amen. But we also found it because your plan is greater than you can do of yourselves. You will need God's provision. Amen. Paul declared, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. Paul recognized whatever God called you to do was going to require resources greater than you possessed of yourselves. If nothing else, you need the anointing for what you're doing. I don't need the anointing just because I'm a minister. I need the anointing for everything I do. And so do you. You need to learn to function by the anointing. Live by the anointing. And so, none of us can produce any anointing of ourselves. Not a single one of us can heal us. You can't heal a hangnail of yourself, much less open blind eyes. Therefore, we need supernatural provision. So we're stepping through a progression. There's another P. It's not in our list. But we're stepping through a progression that takes us from our purpose all the way through to fulfilling it. Do you see this? How many want to fulfill their purpose on earth? Want to complete their assigned plan of God? We're describing how to do that. And I believe this applies to every single believer on earth. And I don't believe there's any shortcuts around it or any alternative paths that God has for you other than to do it like this. To not follow this progression is to try to produce the fulfillment of your calling by your own ability. So we have the need for provision. And we talked about this morning. So many people know they need provision. I mean, they try to step out and do something great for God. Next thing you know, they don't have enough money. Don't have enough strength. Don't have enough wisdom. And so many people in that situation start crying out, "Oh God, I beg of you, send me money. I plead with you, send me resources or labors. Oh God, won't you please meet my needs?" And we discovered this morning, God is not moved by our needs. He's moved by our seeds. Did you follow me on that? God's not moved because you have a need. If God was moved by need, we would never have a single Christian fail at anything. And certainly every saint has learned how to beg God for things. How many of you, we don't need a show of hands, but I'm certain a whole lot of you at one time or another in your life before you learned about faith, when you were going through symptoms of major sickness, you were begging God to heal you. "Oh God, if it be as thou will, please healest me." Healeth. I can't believe I just said that wrong. Healeth. "Oh God, if you were sick, I would heal you. Oh God, have mercy on me and reach down and touch your humble servant that I would be free of these symptoms." And my guess is, as you did that, probably not a single one of you ever got healed. I never did. I never got healed by asking God for healing or begging God to heal me. Because God, again, is not moved by our need. You needed healing, but He wasn't moved by it. How many Christians die sick? How many Christians are in the hospital? So they have a need. Did God meet it? No. He does not meet needs. He answers faith. So we learn when we're sick, we don't ask God for healing because He says He's already provided it through the Word. We decree healing into our bodies. We declare we receive it by faith, right? So we've learned there's another path we can actually see our prayers answered. So if I was to ask for a show of hands, I'd say, how many were healed, were ever healed by begging God? Probably hardly a hand would go up. But if I said now, on the other hand, how many have ever been healed by faith? Almost every hand would go up. So apparently there's a difference between begging and decreeing. Apparently one path works and one does not. Me personally, I like to do what works. I've been writing this book. I have now printed over 500 pages in about the last week. And the book's not that long. I've just been printing it multiple times and everything else. And the program I'm using seems to have a problem with my printer at times. Normally you go to a print program and you hit, you know, print, and you tell it to print, you hit the print icon and it prints. In this case, that didn't work. I found out I would hit print and it would just ignore me. Go through gyrations, other stuff would come on the screen and it wouldn't print. So through trial and error, I found it to print with this program. What works best for me is that I hit print in the file menu. Then I go and I click on print all pages, and I go down to that drop down menu and I hit print all pages. Then I go back and I hit the, it's not select printer, but something else to do with print, and it brings me another drop down menu, and I don't pick the default one. I've got to go up and pick the one above it. When I click it, then I come out and I go hit print and it prints. So guess what? I do that every time. I know the routine. I found out what works and I found out what didn't work. I don't go with what normally would work. I go with now what I found it does work. The same thing's true in the kingdom of God. We've got to go with what works. So God's got provision for us, but we found that we can't access it by begging. So we've got to find out how it does work. We went to 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning where God says He's given to us exceeding great and precious promises that by these you may be partakers of God's divine nature. God has given us promises to be able to access our provision. Now, we understand that the promises are really a type of seed. When you speak a promise, you are sowing a seed. Jesus in the parable of the sower talked about the sower goes out to sow, right? And he sows seed into different types of soil. And then he said, and the seed is the word of God. Luke 8:11. So we found out that the word is a type of seed. And we discussed this morning that a seed is a pre-programmed package of potential power. There's a bunch more P's, aren't there? A pre-programmed package of potential power. And our seed is the Word. So when you have a need in your life of provision, you need provision in your life. Begging is not going to do it. You need to find a promise. Now, I'm going to draw this picture just so you can see this a little more clearly. Let's say that I take a seed. And here we have some type of seed. We don't know what it is, right? But inside that seed, if I sow that seed, is a program. Now, for a plant, I believe they use RNA. Is that ribonucleic acid? There's a program in that seed, much like DNA is for animals. And when that seed hits the right soil, the covering of the seed is penetrated by what's inside. And this program is released, this RNA program is released to produce a plant of the same type that seed came from. Right? So inside of this seed is a program. Inside of this seed is potential power. However, that power is not released until the seed is sown. So it is potential power. Do you follow me on this? But when you sow this seed into the right soil, this program is released and to go into action. This power is released to produce another plant, and the seed fulfills its purpose. Do you see this? However, God said, His word is seed. So if we take this same seed, we'll erase that one and make us a new seed. We'll make a bigger one. Say, here's our seed of the Word of God. The Word is full of promises to us. There are promises you can be healed. There are promises you can be prosperous. There's promises for your marriage to be blessed, your children to serve God, promise to have joy and peace. We mentioned this morning. There's promise for every need of your life. There's never a circumstance you'll ever go through that God didn't have a promise in the Word to see you victorious in. Amen. So we'll call this seed a promise. So inside of here is a program, as with a seed, to produce something. As well, there's power inside the seed. How many of the Word of God is alive and powerful? There's power in the seed to release supernatural capacity. And the power and the program of that seed. Is that for me? Are defined by what that promise of God declares. So let's say, for example, that this program is 1 Peter 2:23 and 24. By His stripes you were healed. Is it 1 Peter? By the stripes of Jesus you were healed. That's the program. Right? And in that promise is contained all the power that's my explosion. All the infinite power of God is contained in that promise. Do we understand that the Word of God is Jesus in print form? And Jesus is God and He has unlimited capability? So every verse, let me think how to state this. Do you agree that God has unlimited power? I saw a picture yesterday put on Facebook that they have taken a snapshot of the universe, and it shows all these millions of points of light, and each point of light represented it's a separate galaxy. And they said something like there was 100 million galaxies in the universe. Now, do you know what a galaxy is? We live in our solar system that has the 9 planets, right? Depending who's counting. We're in one solar system around one star. But we live in this star, our sun, is in the Milky Way galaxy that has how many billion suns within it? And this photo showed all these dots of light that it was just almost like unlimited dots. And it said there's over 100 million galaxies with millions of stars each. And God said in the beginning, let there be, and all of that was created. God is not limited in power. So is it okay for us to say that He has unlimited power? Infinite power? Now you that have some mathematics capabilities, there's something like 20,000 verses in the Bible. If you take infinity and you divide it by 20,000, what do you get? Somebody help me out now. Don't leave me hanging. What is infinity divided by 20,000? It's still infinity. It doesn't matter what number you divide infinity by, it's always still infinity. See, y'all can take that home with you and just ponder that one right there. So that means in every verse of the Bible, there's infinite power available. Did you follow that whole cycle we were going through that? So in this seed of the Word, this promise, 1 Peter 2:23 and 24, there is infinite power to heal you. And if you sow that seed into the right soil, that power and program are released, and guess what it produces? Healing. That verse doesn't produce prosperity, it produces healing. It doesn't make your marriage, it doesn't heal your marriage, it produces healing for your physical body, amen, even for your relationships within the church, because it heals the body of Christ as well, all of the teaching. So this is a promise of God. So to get your provision, you need to find the right promise. There was a move years ago to try to unite much of Christianity together in what they call promise keepers. And the truth is, promise keepers will never manifest the glory of God because they've got to compromise the truth. Not trying to attack anybody. God's not looking for promise keepers, He's looking for promise receivers. He's looking for people that will manifest the promises, promise receivers. Because if we manifest the promise, we let these seeds, if we're the soil the seed is planted in, then guess what? If that seed is planted in us, it releases infinite power for us to live above. Never beneath, the head and not the tail. So our provision is contained in seed packets. Did anybody see the movie The Martian? A few of you? With Matt Damon? In this movie, he is accidentally stranded on Mars by himself. And there's no way to get to him for like years. And he's got to figure out how to survive. And he starts planting, he has a little bit of supply, he starts planting pieces of potato to raise potatoes. They actually had some seeds with them, so he's starting to plant seeds because his survival depends upon him having something to eat for that long of a period of time. And it's all a lot of the movies about his efforts to survive, plant the seeds, raise the seeds, to produce a harvest that he needs. Our provision is based on the power of seed. If we have a need in our life, we don't go to God begging. He's saying, go check your seed packet. Go look in your Word. It's already in the Word. Do you follow me? Jesus came and preached in His doctrine. A sower went out to sow. We're the sowers. And we're the targets of the seed. So if there's a need in your life, don't go begging God for the answer or for the provision. Find the seed where the answer is already embedded in it. Are you guys following me? Find a promise that has what you need. But now we have another problem. So I know I need provision to fulfill the plan. And I know God's given me promises that are yes and amen, that are full of provision. Every area of provision you need is contained in a seed. Everything is in seed form. No seed, no promise, no provision. It's as simple as that. Yet how many Christians try to skip that promise step? Well, God, you see I have needs. God's going, where's your seed? Use the seed. But the question arises, how do we get this provision out of the seed? How do we extract our provision out of the promise? Am I boring you tonight? How do I get my provision out of the promise? Because I know it's in the form of a seed, but how do I get the power out of the seed? That brings us to P number 7. I'm sorry, number 5. Did I say 7? Number 5. There's 7 of them. Are the principles. Go over to Matthew chapter 16. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 6 instead. This will work better for us. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says, that you be not slothful or lazy, not lazy farmers, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, how many want to receive of the promises? We've already found out our provisions in the form of promises. Now, he says, the way you get your inheritance, your provision out of the promise, is through faith and patience. Through principles of faith. Principles that govern the kingdom of God. Everything in this natural world operates by physics principles. Whatever your vocation is, whatever you do, you've learned to apply those principles. Robert does lawn care, and whether he knows it or not, he's applying physics principles all the time. When he unloads his trailer, takes the mower off, he doesn't pick up his mower and set it off the trailer. He just backs it down and lets gravity take it on down. Amen. So he has to apply what he knows about gravity to help him do the job. The blades to go around and cut the grass. Use a weighted blade so as it builds up speed, it has momentum in it. Momentum is a principle of physics. So when it hits the grass, it shears the grass off, again applying more physics principles. You just can't make the blade out of plastic. It won't hold up. The point I'm making is everything applies physics. Everything we build, everything we do, we're using physics principles. And in the kingdom of God, things work by spiritual principles. Spiritual laws. Jesus said in Mark 11, you can command a mountain to be thrown in the sea and it must obey you if you don't doubt, but you believe what you say will come to pass. We have the ability in the realm of the kingdom to speak words of authority in faith and watch it come to pass. So of the principles of the kingdom, the operations of faith fall under that category. We did a series about a year ago. In fact, we spent probably 6 months on the series looking at principles of the kingdom. We covered something like 50 of them. 50 spiritual principles that we, and there were many more that the Word of God declares. For example, death and life is in the power of your tongue. That's a principle of the kingdom. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that you may live long and it go well with you on the earth. That's not just a promise. There's a principle behind it, honoring your father and your mother. Be not unequally yoked. That's a spiritual principle. And so, the Word of God, these 20,000 verses, contain in it not just promises, but the principles that unlock the promises. Oh, hallelujah. Do you follow me on that? When Jesus came to teach, and he said, he that heareth my sayings and doeth them, he builds his house on a rock. And we talked about this in the past. What were the sayings that Jesus came to teach? He didn't come to teach about the cross. He didn't come to teach about suffering or feeding the poor. He came and the primary thing he taught were the principles of the kingdom. How does this kingdom operate? And then he demonstrated it. He would speak to the storm, walk on the water, heal the sick, raise the dead, even manifest money, showing how the kingdom of God could produce resources or provision for us. So if we want to unlock our provision from the promises, we've got to learn these principles. You know what a ridiculous statement is? When people want to slander our church or come against it, they say, we don't believe in all that faith stuff. Well, right there you're declaring you will never move out in much supernatural power because faith is what unlocks the power of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith it's impossible to please God. You can't even please God without faith. Why would you battle against the very thing that's going to allow you to access the provision you need from the promises? So what the principles do is the principles are able to sow the seed into the soil and cause it to produce. So we've learned in here what we call five steps of faith, five spiritual principles we apply. Revelation, meditation, application, manifestation, and restoration. Application, speaking, acting, and standing. We've learned in here that we want to sow a seed and see the power of God released. We've got to find a verse or a promise and speak it into manifestation. And even act on it. That God's given us the ability to take that seed and speak it with authority. And when we speak it with authority, the power and program of that seed is released into our lives or wherever we sow it. And unless we do that, nothing happens. Has anybody got any seed at home stored? Anybody? I have some seed somewhere probably stored. I know I got packs of seed in different places of the house. May never plant it. Do you know what will happen if I never plant it? Nothing. It will not produce until I plant it. And the promises of God will not produce in the life of the Christian who doesn't know how to operate by the principles that let you sow that seed into the right soil. And they can beg and cry till the cows come home, and they'll end up burnt out, broke, and quitting and saying, well, I guess God, you know, didn't want to answer my prayers. Or He ordained me to fail. No, you didn't know how to unwrap the provision. Why do you think the devil attacks you so hard coming to this church? Some of you have to battle the demonic to get here. Why? Because he doesn't want you learning this step. You can learn all of this. I know God's got a purpose for you, plan, provision, and even promises, but you don't have to learn how to unlock it. It will not produce. So to try to bypass faith and say, well, we just don't believe all that faith stuff, is to say, I'm going to do it myself. And you will fail every time. That's why we have so many mega churches built by man's strategies, because they don't know how to do it by God's methods. And then they attack the very principles or system God set in place to access His power. We're called to fulfill a supernatural plan. A major plan. But only this unlocks the power to do it. Or the promises. So follow me on this. God has given us principles to access the promises, to release to us the provision, to fulfill the plan, to stay in His purpose. All five of these are required. So let's say then that you've learned to speak the word in faith. You've learned how to stand until you see your manifestation. You've learned to be kingdom-minded and refuse to be bound by natural, limited thinking. So you sow your seed, you speak it forth, you stand until it comes to pass. What do you suppose step number six is? Now see, you guys should have memorized this by now. Don't make me get on to you. No, but that's a good guess. Power. What happens when you unveil the seed by the principles? All of a sudden you have the power. All of a sudden the supernatural manifests in your life. Whether it's healing, whether it's resources, whether it's relationships, whether it's people to help you, whether it's the vision released, whatever it is, power is released to let you do what you could not do of yourselves. And God wants us living in power. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There is no bypassing of this process. Amen. There's no way around it. People may be manifesting something, you know, of God, thinking, you know, they're going around it, but they're applying these same principles in some fashion. Unless you learn to believe, the mountain's not moving. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." The word power there is the word dunamis. It means the dynamite or explosive power of God. The supernatural power of God. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." We are called to be people of power. So I don't believe most Christians would have a problem believing that God wants us to be powerful. I mean, I know there's those that are declaring the power of God has passed away and God's not healing anymore. He's not blessing anymore. You know, we're just on our own. But most evangelical Christians believe that God answers prayer. Or at least He can. So most would not have a problem believing in this power. The problem is, how do you get to it? That's what they don't know. That's what we're talking about in this teaching. They know there's to be power, but how do they get it? Well, you get it through stepping through every one of these steps. You want to walk in the power of God? Find out what His plan is for your life. We mentioned this morning. So many people are crying out for provision from God, but they're not in His plan. Oh God, I want to have a house on the beach in Hawaii. Well, praise God, I would like one too. But that may not be in line with His plan for my life. Therefore, I have no right to believe for that. God's provision is His grace package for us. We talked about this morning. His provision for us always lines up with our plan. Amen. Therefore, I can't be saying, God, I just really don't want to live in Kentucky. I wouldn't say that because I like it here. Plus, I like being married. And my wife likes Kentucky. When we were first married, we went to the Marshall Islands for a honeymoon, and I fell in love. We went to the Virgin Islands for a honeymoon. Well, we didn't ever made it. We went to the Marshall Islands for a honeymoon. We went to the Virgin Islands. And when I went to St. John's, I fell in love with the Virgin Islands. Pristine beaches, and I found out they really are wanting to hire engineers in that area. St. Croix is their industrial island, and they're looking for engineers to come. And I'm thinking, Patty, we could move here. Let's move to the Virgin Islands. Even today, I'm open to it. God, let's start a church in the Virgin Islands. Or even, Hawaii, in the island of Kauai. Pastor Bob and I really had to cast down aspects of our calling when we visited that part of Hawaii. Just beautiful. We were trying to figure out a way we could co-pastor a church and each share 6 months over there, you follow me? We weren't serious, but we thought, hey, you can speak to us audibly if you want to, God. But I can't say, God, give me a church in Hawaii or Virgin Islands if that's not His plan for my life. Your provision from God will always be tied to you following His plan for your life. And so many people say, well, God didn't work because He didn't answer my prayer, when in fact, they're praying outside of His plan. God has no responsibility to provide for you what He has not assigned for you to do. Do you follow me? God's provision for us is not for us to do what we want to do. It's to do what He wants us to do. Amen. So ministers all the time are experiencing burnout because they're not getting provision, because they're not really in God's plan. Amen. Forgot where I was with this thing. Thank you, Jesus. You want the power. You've got to go through this entire process. You've got to find out what He wants you to do, what you need to do it. You got to find the promises to relate to it. And understand, part of that plan is you be healed. That your marriage and children are blessed. That's part of the plan. That you live an overcoming life. You find the promises for it. You apply the principles of the promise. And then the power is released in your life. And to try to skip that process will not produce the results you need. So we see here 6 steps to take us into the power of God. But there's a 7th step required. A few people mentioned it a while ago. Step number 7 is what I call process. Can you see that? Process. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We are called of God to be Spirit-led. Not occasionally hear a word from God, but to be Spirit-led all of the time. God wants us in relationship with Him and being led of the Spirit on a daily basis. Again, when I was in industry, somebody may come up with a new design and they would come to us and say, we want to build this. What's the process that we can use to build this? Do you follow me? And we would have to design, or somebody would have to design an assembly line or a set of equipment that could produce that. They would say, here's our end product, but what's the process by which we can build it? It'll lose you on that. And for us, process is the daily interaction with God that is able to lead us through the rest of this entire flow. See, I know, we all have the same purpose, right? To know God. But I know in my plan, I'm called to raise up a church to usher in the glory to this region. That's God's plan for my life. And I've sought God for years. How do I do it? You know what He's never really fully told me? He's given me nuggets here and there, but all He ever says is just raise up the church, do what I tell you to do as I tell you to do it. God didn't say, hey, raise up a city of, you know, a city of glory, and all of a sudden I rush out and try to do it myself because I don't know how to do it. So what I've got to do is every day get with God and say, God, what do you want me to do today? What message do you want me to preach this morning? Who do you want me to pray for today? What would you have me sow? What would you have me speak? Because what happens is as daily as I stay with God, seeking His will for the day, He's able to take me through a process of going from faith to faith and glory to glory that I fulfill His plan. You will never fulfill God's plan for your life unless you learn to fully abide in Him and be led of the Spirit. And what God's done is He's designed this entire system. Because I believe God gave this to me. He's designed this entire operation that in fulfilling it, you can never exit out of your relationship with Him. We found out our purpose was to know God. Our process, the last step, is our daily interaction with God. So to fulfill everything in between, to fulfill the purpose of everything in between, requires that we utilize process, which actually takes us back to purpose. Let me restate that. As we are fulfilling process by being led of the Spirit and daily getting with God, we're at the same time fulfilling purpose. Did you follow that? I mean, if every day I'm with God saying, God, what do I do today? What do I speak today? Lord, help me right now. Show me what verse to decree. Show me what seed to sow. Show me who to call. Every day I'm saying, God, who do I call today? Or who do I tell Pastor Rebecca to call? Amen. How many of you had her call you and you knew it was a God-ordained time you needed to speak to her? Several of you. What's happening? She's fulfilling process. She's hearing, God, I need to call them. She come to me and say, I need to call this and this and this, and God's put that on my heart. I said, well, you better do it. That's process. And process is daily hearing God, which ends up producing our purpose, knowing Him, fellowshipping with Him. In fact, process is actually, are you ready for this? Process is actually the daily application of purpose. My wife and I never go a day without speaking. Do you follow me? The purpose of our marriage is to two become one and interact and go through life together. But in that purpose to go through life together requires a process that we stay in communication daily. If we don't speak for a day, something would be wrong. Now, I don't know if it's ever happened unless I was when I'm overseas, but even then we're communicating through Facebook or something. In the same fashion, our purpose is to know God. And you can't just pray once a week and say you know God. You know, go to church when it's convenient, say, oh yeah, I'm a friend of God. No, no, no. A friend of God has communion with God on a regular basis, if not all the time. So process is the daily fulfillment of our purpose. Amen? And in this, God has put this entire operation together that you cannot function in it and escape knowing Him. No part of this can you fulfill without staying in relationship with Jesus. So let's go through this again. I'll get it out. Let's go through this again. God has a purpose for our lives. And everybody's purpose is the same. That's to know Him. Then out of your purpose, God will speak to you a plan or a vision for your life. And everybody's vision is different. But your vision is so great because God needs you to stay in communion with Him. He's going to give you such a great vision. You need Him. You've got to stay in communication with Him. So He gives you a vision that requires supernatural provision. But we don't know how to get the provision of our own. It's not that we go dig a gold mine, all of a sudden we've got it, right? We found out our provision is in the form of promises. But the promises, just because you know a promise doesn't mean you'll access it unless you learn the principles. And the principles unlock the power of the promise. And as we learn this, in an attempt to fulfill the plan, we stay in daily communion with God, who reveals to us the process to get to our end goal. And again, we would so much more like for God to speak to us and say, God, do this, or you know, tell us, go do this, and we just could run and do it. But He set it up where we've got to stay with Him daily. We have to hold His hand to go through into this thing. Years ago, Pastor Callan was praying. We were in morning prayer. And he had seen what God had for Pastor Jim and Pastor Sherry and Pastor Lee and several others. And that day, I would always pray up on the platform. Me and one other person, we pray on the platform. I mean pray. Warfare prayer. And that morning, Pastor Callahan went to God and he says, God, you show me what you want all these other people to do, but you've never shown what you have for Jack. I wasn't Pastor Jack at the time. You've never shown me what you have for Jack. This would have been back 1992, I think, 92. And in fact, I remember precisely what time frame it was. And God came back to him and said, I have very exciting things for Jack. Yippee! Now I've really got something I can run with. And so he came to me and says, I asked God what he had for you, and he says, he's got very exciting things for you. And I'm going, well, praise God. Because exciting can be good and it can be bad. Exciting doesn't mean you're having a great time, it just means you're on the edge of your seat. And I've been on the edge of my seat now for 20 plus years. And it's not always been fun, but it's been exciting. I never have boring days. But when he said that, God, the Spirit of God spoke within me. I remember it clearly. And the Spirit of God said, I didn't tell him details because if you heard details, I know you go try to do it yourself. So I've got you in a position you are not going to see what you're to do other than you're going to know that it's big. And he'd already shown me the glory. And that you're going to stay with me every day to know what to do next. Now that was spoken to me in 1992. And I watched it come to pass. I never know what's coming next. I just know what I'm doing that day or for that short season. Amen? And as I do that, it keeps me with God. God's got a great plan for your life. But you've got to learn this entire flow of this system to see it come to pass. And there are no shortcuts or alternative methods to see your plan fulfilled. To try to skip this process is to try to do it yourself and end up with a man-produced programmer entity. And then it will be dead. God wants what we do to be supernatural, and this is the process we get to it. Did you get anything out of this? Well, Father, seal the word in us. Cause us to be those that go after you with all of our hearts. Ask you to reveal your plans to each of those here, that they can step into it with all of their power, all of their strength. I thank you. I give you praise in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Now, next time I teach this, I expect you to be able to snap off the answers right away. Because you need to apply this. You need to know this so you know how to apply it. It should become second nature to you, knowing you need a promise to access the provision that you need. Amen. Be blessed.